guys, my name's Matt. Great to see you here tonight. Let's have a little bit more lights on the house. Thank you. Yeah, how awesome celebration is to come together to see seven young people being baptized. I'd love to extend an extra special welcome. Maybe if you're here tonight, you wouldn't normally come to a church, or maybe it's your first time back in a church in a long time. It's fantastic to have you here tonight. And I promise I'm going to share very quickly because I want to get stuck into baptism soon. So we might get stuck right into it now. I'm going to chuck a photo up on the screen. And so this photo is from my year one, a recount story that I wrote. You can maybe just read it with a bit of the lighting there. This was from an excursion that I went into the fire station. As I said, when I was in year one. And my handwriting probably has got worse since then. It's probably the best it's ever been right there. But that's all right. On that excursion, I was part of a demonstration. I got to squirt some water. And there's one thing that stood out to me. You can see that, you can't see the date on the photo there. I can only see it at the back there, but it's 1999. I remember this 20 years ago. It's weird. This one strange thing stood out to me. And you might be able to see it if you can read it. The firefighter, after I was part of this demonstration, he said to me, "Great job, buddy. You are now an official fireman." And like when he said that to me, I stood up a little bit straighter. And as a six-year-old, I was ready to jump into any fire and to fight that fire. I was ready to go. I don't know what he said, but what he said built courage in me. And I could still remember that today. I want to put it to you. I wonder if someone has said something to you. They've encouraged you. Maybe you remember them just encouraging you. Or maybe you remember the words that they said. That it stuck with you. Maybe it was weeks ago, months, or maybe even years. And you probably resonate with that words have power. Words, whether they're for good or for bad, they have power. And I'm going to focus on the good part tonight, talking about encouragement. And so encouragement is evident in many different areas of our lives. In sport, we've talked about the basketball a little bit tonight already with Toronto winning. But in basketball, whether you play home or away, the court is the exact same, same dimensions. There should not be any advantage. But a few studies have shown that the team that is playing at home has a 7-point advantage over the team that's playing away. And one of the big things that's pretty obvious in that is the crowd was the factor. The crowd encouraging them on, making them feel like they could make the shot. And the crowd allowed the team to actually play better through their encouragement. So if we look at the Bible, a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, you see it on the screen, "Therefore, encourage one another build each other up, just in fact as you are doing." The Bible tells us to encourage each other. Pretty straightforward. And if I said encourage you, makes sense. It's a nice thing to do. But why does the Bible stress it as well, even if we know that this is a nice thing to do? And if we look at the word encourage, if we look at the origins of it, it's actually two words put together. It's crazy. This blew my mind when I looked at it. It's two words. It's en, which can be substituted for in, and courage. So if we put those two words together, it's encourage. But literally, when you encourage someone, you actually put in courage in them. And if we think about what is courage, courage is the ability to do something that brings fear, maybe to go into the unknown, to push through in the face of grief, adversity, pain. So therefore, I want you to remember tonight, if you don't remember anything else of what I say, is encourage to build courage. Encouraging is not just saying something nice, just a nice takeaway thing. But it actually helps develop something inside of someone. It allows someone to maybe be able to do something that maybe they couldn't have without their encouragement. Enables someone to actually reach their full potential. To push through in a really difficult situation where odds are against them, but some encouragement can get them through. And when we think about this, when we think about the idea of encouraging, it gives it so much more power to it that we're actually developing something in someone. We're putting courage in them instead of just saying something nice. And so the Bible is written in different languages, and Greek is one of them. And I am certainly no expert in Greek. Probably the only word I know in Greek is euros. And so tonight we're going to go through a lesson together, and we're going to each learn a Greek word. And this is actually from the verse that we read before. It's what the word encourage, what that's translated from. And the word, we get it on the screen, is parakaleo. It's probably not how you say it at all, but parakaleo. Can you say parakaleo to the person next to you? Parakaleo. Some good pronunciations, some terrible ones at that. Parakaleo. And if we look at the Greek of parakaleo, what parakaleo literally means is to come alongside someone. So therefore, when we encourage, we're actually coming alongside someone. And if I think back to when I got my P's, my driver's license, I was pretty terrible. I locked my keys in the car like every second week. I always left my lights on. My car battery would go flat. I was terrible at that. And so when I left my car lights on and my battery went flat, my mum would have to pull up alongside her car. She'd have to use a thing called jumper cable, some of you may know or not. And what she would do is she would, from these cables, would allow power to go from her good battery to mine, to give mine a bit of a jump start, to give it a boost. And when we encourage others, there's a photo just there. When we encourage others, we actually get to do something very similar. We actually come alongside the person that may be struggling. Maybe they're feeling a bit weak. Maybe they're feeling a bit flat. Or maybe they're just not reaching their full potential. And when we encourage them, there actually can be some power that flows inside of them. It actually builds them up, allows them to do more than maybe they could have before. And so in culture, nicknames is a massive thing. Like everyone loves giving something or someone a nickname. And a nickname can be the shortening of a word. It could be a physical attribute of someone. It could be something someone's done. Or it could be something about the way that they act. A fun fact, Miley Cyrus, as some of you may know, was actually born Destiny Hope Cyrus. And because of when she was a baby, she was so smiley that her parents started nicknaming her Smiley, which then they ended up shortening to Miley. Miley Cyrus, crazy. There's a guy in the Bible called Joseph who's similar to Miley Cyrus, only in the nickname part. That's the only part that is similar. Nothing else is alike. I want to stress that. She is nothing like who I'm about to talk with. But this guy called Joseph, when he's talked about throughout the Bible, he's not actually called Joseph. He's actually known by his nickname. And his nickname is Barnabas. He was called Barnabas, as this means the son of encouragement or the encourager. What a nickname. He was known, his name was because of his ability to encourage others. It's like, hey, look, there's the encourager. That's what he was known for, because of his ability to encourage others. And some of you may know Barnabas, and a lot of you are probably like, who is this Barnabas guy? Not heaps is written about him. You can read about him in Acts, but he had a massive influence on the New Testament, the later part of the Bible, through his ability to encourage. So this was set after Jesus had come to earth, he died, he'd risen from the dead, and he'd gone back to heaven. And Barnabas, in his life, firstly, he assisted Paul when he went out on his first missionary journeys. And Paul, some of you may know, was a key figure in the New Testament, wrote a ton of the Bible. And Paul, his right-hand man, was Barnabas in his first journeys. And then if you read through in the book of Acts, a book in the Bible, it talks about how Barnabas, he would get alongside people that had just come to faith. He would encourage them in their faith to stand firm. He would do life with them. He would encourage them. And there's one more example. There was a guy called Mark. He was a traveling companion with Barnabas and Paul. And then on one journey, he just had enough and he just deserted them. He left them. And so then when Paul and Barnabas were going to work out where they were going to go next on another journey, Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul was like, nah, I want nothing to do with this deserter. But Barnabas actually saw the potential in Mark, and he actually went alongside him. He left Paul and went with Mark, and he saw the potential in Mark. He got alongside him. He encouraged him. There's not that much written in the Bible, but what we know is later on, Mark is widely considered to be the person that wrote the Gospel of Mark. And if we didn't have Barnabas, who knows? Mark may have never written that if he didn't have a Barnabas to come alongside of him. He may have never reached his potential. Maybe we wouldn't have that Gospel of Mark, talking about the first Gospel, the story of Jesus. But what a name to be known as, the Encourager. And Barnabas was able to make a massive impact because of his ability to encourage. So I just want to finish with five tips on how to be like Barnabas, how to be a Barnabas in the way that we encourage. Some of us, encouragement is easy. Like we find that really natural. Some of us, it's like the complete opposite. It's like drawing blood from a stone. But we all have the opportunity to encourage others, to build courage in them. So first one is to never underestimate. Never underestimate the power of encouragement. Sometimes we can feel like maybe my encouragement won't mean anything to that person. Or maybe we encourage someone and we don't see the fruit of it straight away. Maybe they don't accept it like the way that you think. Never underestimate it. Sometimes it might be years later that you hear the fruit from it. Secondly is, people want to be around Barnabas. Paul wanted Barnabas around. The other disciples wanted Barnabas around. People want people around them that get alongside them, that encourage them, that allow them to reach their full potential. So if you yourself, you're thinking, I want to be encouraged. If you want to be encouraged, I really want to put it to you, encourage others first. Be that example. If you want to be encouraged, encourage others. Encouragement is infectious. Our third one is be specific. In our culture, we can be so vague with our encouragement. We can go, great work, buddy, great work. And that's all that we say. But when it comes to criticism, we're like, this is what you did wrong. This is how you did it wrong. This is how it made me feel. This is how you should do it better next time. And then sometimes even when we encourage, we give a backhanded thing. We might say something like, maybe someone on worship team, we might go, hey, mate, great work tonight on band, sung really well. But in that fourth song, though, you missed that high note, killed the mood, but great work tonight, mate. You sung really well. And what's that person going to remember? What are they going to think about? Did that actually build courage in them? What was the point of us even encouraging them in that instance? And I'm not saying that we can't give constructive feedback. That's great. But sometimes with our encouragement, we've got to be specific. People remember that. And so often we don't want to just encourage and then give a backhanded criticism at the same time. Our fourth one is don't assume. Sometimes we assume that people know that they're good at something. We see that person, they're like, they can sing, they can play this, they're great, they know that they're great. But often we're our worst enemy. We don't realise how good we are at something. We don't think that we can reach that potential until someone actually comes alongside of us, calls that out of us, and allows us to actually strive for more. Don't assume that someone knows something, knows that they've done a good job, that they've done well. And the fifth one, share your story. If you're a follower of Jesus, share your testimony, the story of how God has been at work in your life. It can encourage others, especially those who are facing things that you are facing right now. In 2 Corinthians, there's a verse, we'll put it up on the screen. In the later part of the Bible, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive from God. The word that we were talking about before, parakaleo, that word for encouragement, when that's translated, actually is also translated into the word comfort. And so we can actually use those words interchangeably. So if we change that word comfort to encourage, if we put that up on the screen now, it reads instead, the Father of compassion and the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all our troubles so that we can encourage those in any trouble with this same encouragement we ourselves receive from God. God comes alongside us in our troubles, and we actually get to do the same for others. And that's why I believe baptisms this night is the best night of the term. I love baptism night. It's so special. And why that is we get, not because of what I'm sharing, not at all. It's about hearing the testimonies that they're about to share, the stories of how God has actually been at work in their lives. And we can actually resonate with that, and we can actually be encouraged ourselves. We can see and hear how God loves them and how God's been at work in their lives and know that God loves you and God is actually at work in your life. It's that same God. And if you're a Christian, I encourage you, write down your testimony if you haven't. Look for opportunities to share it and encourage others. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, encourage each other daily as it is called today, every day. I want to put a challenge to you tonight in finishing. For you to think about, who in this next 24 hours can you encourage to build courage? Who can you be a Barnabas to? Maybe it's face-to-face, maybe it's a letter, maybe it's a text, mail, email, whatever. Maybe it's to a leader, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a friend. Who can you build courage in? Who can you be specific? Who can you come alongside? Allow them to push through adversity, to reach their potential. And one last thing is, if you tonight, you're feeling low on encouragement yourself, you're like, that's great, Matt, but I want to be encouraged myself. Are you feeling low on encouragement? I really recommend, crack open a Bible. You can look it up on the internet if you don't have one, or I'd love to give you one if you don't have it. The Bible is full of encouragement, talking about how God loves you, and what he actually thinks about you. Remember, be a Barnabas, encourage to build courage. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you encourage us. Thank you that you're a God of comfort and compassion. I thank you for the opportunity that we get to come alongside others, to build courage in them. We just thank you for the commitment and courageous action of seven young people here tonight being baptized. We celebrate that with you. How amazing is that? They're putting their hope and trust in you. We just thank you for how you've been at work in their lives to this point, and we're excited for what's to come. In Jesus' name, amen.